Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target. Hey, everybody, welcome to Stay on Target. I am your host, John Wright, and Chris is actually in Grand Rapids this week on a video shoot. So I am joined by a returning guest to help me co-host this thing, Ike Elgard.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. It's been, what has it been, like a year, something like that?
Yeah, pretty much over a year. We did the zombies.
Ah, that's right. We did the review of a Call of Duty map pack or something like that. It was one of the DLC drops for
and
that.
And it's been a while.
Yeah,
but we're on to the next generation.
We are on to the next generation, and I will say that it's not as good as the previous generation of Call of Duty, so I'm excited for Advanced Warfare, though. I'm excited to see what that has to offer.
Should be good.
No idea what to expect, so we'll see what a fresh start kind of looks like for them. So how's your week, man? How have you been?
Week is great, considering pretty much this year's or this fall's release is out with Destiny being out.
Yeah, everything kind of kicks off with Destiny here.
It sure does. I'm a couple days into it, and it's been ridiculous. And also the iPhone 6 release.
Oh my gosh!
Announcement.
Announcement. So. Yeah.
What a wonderful week it has been.
Yeah, this week has been very good for geeks and for, I guess, culture in general. Just the world is happier this week than it was last week, that sort of thing. So I guess this week I've been kind of, I mean, Destiny's been big over the weekend. I don't know that, I mean, we played some Forza over the weekend. You know, there was Forza 5 was free for gold members for the weekend. I guess it was like a rental, almost like they were letting you rent this game for the weekend. And I'm wondering if maybe that's something that they're playing with of doing like digital rentals. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah, very interesting. Also, the what I've, you know, kind of, it's taken me back was the EA Access too.
Ah.
Kind of the same concept of the releases being able to, if you're obviously a member, you can, you know, you can play them days in advance or whatever, or get trials.
Did you do Madden that way?
I did, and got a 6-hour trial to it, and it unlocked the whole game. So you got achievements, you got you get to play whatever game mode you wanted. So it wasn't restricted to, you know.
That's awesome.
A demo.
That's awesome. So, how was Madden? Was it fun?
It was good.
I haven't
played, you know, I'm just that gamer. I don't play too many sports games, but it had me from the get-go. I mean, it's real fun. I tended to play just like the skills challenge, like all the tutorial stuff at the front end, just because, you know, you want to beat your score and get that up. So but yeah, it was great. Graphics awesome. Engine looked awesome. So
that's great.
Next gen. So
that's great, man. And what is it? NHL also came out, and I mean, I obviously, you know, that's not something that I've played or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I haven't played any hockey games in years, and I loved them in the past. So I'll have to check this one out.
Yeah. Okay. So that's basically all that this week has consisted of. It was like Forza, kind of like, you know, was my entertainment up until Destiny came out here, because it was like, I guess it was Monday night that all dropped, and that whole thing happened, because like that night was nuts, and I guess Tuesday was also nuts to a certain extent for me, because what we did was we went to bed like as soon as
Monday afternoon evening,
yeah.
Yes.
We like went to bed pretty early that day. Like after I got off work, after I stopped, you know, after I got done mixing and stuff, it was I went to bed, and I woke up just before the actual, actually woke up about an hour early, which was weird. My body was just like, oh, you're awake at 1 a.m. before the digital download like unlocked at 2 a.m. And then we played from like 2 a.m. and then I went to work, you know, that morning. So it was like, it was just a really weird day.
Just exhausting.
Yeah, it was a very strange day, you know, and it was worth it for sure.
It definitely was.
And that was actually the only time I think that Chris had a chance to play. Like, he didn't play any on Tuesday or anything like that, just because he was heading out of town. Like, I mean, he flew out, I think it was very, very early on Wednesday morning. So,
right.
Yeah.
It definitely had that Christmas morning feel.
It really did.
Where you're, you know, you can't sleep because you're so amped.
You're all anticipating it and, right. You know, yeah, that whole thing. But since Chris isn't here, We're having a party. Like this is a party, man.
We are having a party.
While we are missing Chris, that you know, I was like, as I was prepping for this whole thing, I was like, man, I was like, this is the first podcast that you know, one of me or Chris hasn't been on it, and it's like, oh, that's kind of sad and disappointing, you know, since it's episode 71. 71, dude. Woo-hoo! It's been awesome. But yeah, I was like, well, let's just make it a party, you know. So it's awesome. Before we get into our Destiny kind of review and look at what Destiny is, it's time for the news!
The
news! All right, the news, Ike. And I almost called you Hawk just then because that's your gamer tag. Uh-oh. And so, yeah.
That mistake happens quite often.
It happens all the time. Like, in real life, I just call you Hawk. Which, I guess, are you cool with this?
I tend to write my signature for receipts. At very expensive restaurants as Hawk.
You sign your checks, Hawk, right. You know?
And then no one can cash them. Give a wink with my Mentos held up.
Oh, gosh. But if I call you Hawk during this,
It's okay.
But this week, there was a lot of stuff that went down, in the news recently. There's been a lot, and actually, I was putting together my list, and then Chris, in his absence, he sent me a list of news, and it was really funny, because I was like, I only had about half of that, so some of these picks are my picks of what I feel is important, and then some of them will be more of what Chris, and there are some of the ones that Chris was like, I was like, yeah, I can't believe I forgot about that, so.
Right.
All right, so the first one I wanted to talk about here is Microsoft is in talks with Mojang to purchase Minecraft. This is the developer behind popular Minecraft. Like, Minecraft is more than a game.
It is.
It's a lifestyle. Yeah, well, it's a phenomenon now.
Right.
I mean, basically, people who aren't into gaming or I've talked to people where I've been like, hey, do you play games? And they're like, no, I don't play games. I just play Minecraft. You know, it's like they're playing, you know, these games. Or I guess that's the kind of mentality where it's like, oh, no, I'm not seriously into this. I'm just play like solitaire or something like that. And it's like, I still consider that like a gamer. I still consider them, you know, into video games. But yeah, it's like it's a phenomenon now. I'm sitting here with like I have a Steve action figure and a Creeper action figure up here, you know, and it's like these things are just a phenomenon. And Microsoft is in talks to buy it, like late talks. And this came from a very reputable source, and it's like so it's like it's true. You know, they're at least talking about this, and the number was something to the tune of $2 billion.
Ooh.
Which I guess seems expensive, but that's in the price range of a lot of like tech companies. That's in the price range, like more recently that we've seen. So that seems about right. But man, like that would be weird because it just like Minecraft just came out for PlayStation 4, and for it's supposed to come out for Vita. And so I don't know what this means. Like, I don't know. I mean, this could be something. I guess there was initial reaction is to say, oh, this is going to be terrible. It's going to be a bad thing.
Right.
But you look at something like Facebook, whenever they bought Instagram, everyone was all worried that was going to become Facebook or it was going to lose whatever it is. And I would argue that like that really hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
Like they bought it knowing what it was, and they bought it and they didn't want to change it. They wanted to use the success of this thing in order to get, you know, get more market value for their product.
Right.
So it's like if Microsoft looks at this and says, hey, listen, we like what this is and we're not going to change it, that is what it is. If you have like a bunch of microtransactions that get thrown on there, that would be really strange.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe Minecraft 2. Like if they came out with a Minecraft 2, they could then branch away from what Minecraft actually is. I've seen, you know, there was a friend of ours actually who's been on the podcast before and does his YouTube channel, Josh Fulton. He was worried that Microsoft might try to finish the game, quote unquote. Like, Minecraft is kind of one of those things. Like, have you ever played?
Very seldom.
So you like you get in and it's like it's a you kind of just survive and you mine and you can create things. So it's got all this kind of open endedness to it. But, you know, and so if you try to make that into like this finished game where there's you start at point A and you get to point B.
It's not the same concept.
Right. It's not the same. And I'm not so sure that I'm that worried about that aspect of it. Maybe if they came out with a Minecraft 2, it might be something like that.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I think that most people look at Minecraft and they realize that it is successful because it is way different.
Right.
And keeping those differences intact will be good. Now, whether or not they shut down, you know, the PlayStation updates, or if they shut down the Vita version, if they buy it or whatever, right, uh-huh. like that remains to be seen. Maybe they think, oh, well, we can get this, you know, sell so many more. Maybe then they'll leave it on those consoles and those platforms. But, I don't know. We'll see how this shakes out. Like I don't know whether I'm not rooting for them to buy it. Like that's the other thing is I'm not really like pro Microsoft buying this.
Right.
But I don't know that I'm so vehemently against it that much either. Yeah. So well, anyway,
interesting.
Piece of news. Second piece of news here. Have you ever experienced your Xbox making loud noises?
My original Xbox.
Well, like yes. Your Xbox One.
My Xbox 360. Yes, but no.
No, okay.
Not the new generation.
So supposedly there are a lot of Xbox Ones that are making like loud noises, huh. But Microsoft has just said, hey, we're going to replace those for you. So if your Xbox makes a ton of noise, Microsoft will be doing that. Like it's weird to me. Like I looked at some of like the solutions that they had, and one of them was it's not drawing enough power, so plug in a Kinect, and it'll draw more power.
We'll sell you one.
Right. And so it's like, I think that they ran into this issue because they've shipped a bunch of units without a Kinect.
Oh, geez.
And so this was a problem where like they just didn't think about it before, didn't have the problem before because everybody had a Kinect.
Wow.
You can't
write this stuff. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's so weird. It's like, what is, whenever you unplug the Kinect, does the disc spin faster? Right. Does the fan go faster? I'm not sure. Like, I don't know the internal structure of this thing, but that seems strange. But yeah, they're going to replace it. It's, you know, that's nothing as serious as the Red Ring of Death, though.
Right.
Nothing that serious, which is nice, this console generation. It's nice to not have
just white lights on there.
Right. You know. We've also got Sony revealing Remote Play on a number of their tablets and phones.
Okay.
So they've had Remote Play on their Vita before, like where you basically can play your PlayStation 4 through your PlayStation Vita. So like if you're like, I've heard of stories of like one person will be playing a multiplayer game on their console and the other person sitting on the couch next to them with their Vita playing through their Xbox at home.
Wonderful.
So it's crazy. It's a weird world we live in.
That's cool.
But now they're revealing this on like Sony tablets. So where if you buy a Sony tablet or a Sony phone, you can now remote play through those phones. I don't know. What do you think about this? Do you think that people are going to be taking advantage of that?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that it's going to be slow going. You know, if it does catch on, it's going to take a while.
Mm.
But it's definitely an interesting concept. I don't think we've grasped, even like I remember, initially getting, you know, my new iPad to play along with Battlefield, you know, on their tablet, on their mobile app. And it just, you play it for a couple, you know, segments and it's a different gameplay than what you're expecting to go into. So,
gotcha.
It definitely has a market. I think, you know, it's got to evolve a little bit more, but
yeah,
it's getting there.
It is. And I guess you inherently would have kind of lag issues. So it's like, not like you could play like a Twitch based anything.
Right.
On it.
Yeah.
But maybe for some strategy stuff, or maybe like if you're using it for, I don't even know, like an RPG or something like that, it would work. But not having dedicated buttons, I mean, I just like, whenever I'm doing like a console game or console experience, I like dedicated buttons.
Right.
You know, but it's only coming to those devices too. Like Sony is not putting this on iOS or anything.
Right.
So the install base is going to be smaller. Does something like that where it's like, hey, this is a Sony bringing out a gaming based device, because they're really powerful. They're really powerful devices. The processors are really powerful in them. Mm-hmm. And so like Sony bringing out like a tablet that is a gaming tablet. Would you be interested in buying that tablet over like an iPad or something like that? Like, does that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know if the market's that big right now.
Right.
Maybe,
I don't know if that would incentivize me. I would almost rather just get a Vita.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Like if I was going to get something that was for gaming, I'm, you know, I have my 3DS or whatever, but it's like if I was going to get something that I wanted a remote play with, it would be the Vita. The only bonus to these is it does it via like 4G and network. So like if you're if you have a long commute, like a train ride or a bus ride,
right,
that might be good there. So
that's cool.
Anyway, there is, for the Destiny, Activision releases that Destiny has shipped $50 million worth of Destiny. like worth of these things. So like their quote is that Activision has revealed that it sold in more than 500 million of Destiny worldwide. So like this wow. means that that's not necessarily what has sold, but that's what has that's actually what has shipped to like GameStops, and that's right. what's, you know, the digital stuff. So
they've distributed, yeah.
Right. What do you think? I mean, what do you think of this number? Like it makes it the, what was the quote? Cause there's like two different quotes here where it makes it the fastest. Yeah. The most successful new video game franchise launch of all time. Like wow. that was the CEO's quote. Well, I mean,
that's remarkable. I think obviously being a couple days into it, it just goes to show how bold you have to be to distribute that many.
Yeah.
In hopes, but pretty much in reality, that yeah. they're eventually going to get bought up or whatever, you know?
Right.
So, good for them. Definitely. It's within, even like with what GTA did or GTA 5 last yeah. year, what they did, with breaking, you know, records within the first 24 hours. But, yeah. it's just that whole, we are definitely, in a generation where, you know, it's at supply and demand.
Yeah.
And they're going to get eaten up.
Yeah.
For sure. It's just a matter of time. So
it's interesting to me because, like, I guess the news came out, I don't know, it was about 6-7 months ago, back in January just or February, that they were planning, or maybe it was around E3, that the CEO was, like, in an interview or whatever, and he said, you know, oh, this game's going to be a $500 billion $500 million marketing pusher. Like this game in the end will cost us that much.
Right.
It's yeah. like over the course of its life, it'll cost that much. And they've already made that like, it's extensively because it's like, you look at it and it's like, wow, those units may not have been bought by consumers yet.
Right.
The plan is that like, whenever you ship stuff out like that, you over the next couple months or whatever, you're going to be sending out more and stuff too.
Yeah.
So, so it'll make that, but it's like, it's interesting that they've made that much already, like that they've essentially recouped their cost from this right. thing already. And they may or may not have spent that much yet on it because of the whole marketing cost, development cost, ongoing, changes, patches, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a huge number for sure. Batman Arkham Knight has a release date finally. Like they said, I guess back in E3, they announced that hey, it's not gonna meet its October release date. Like whenever it was first announced, they released it as like October, and then now they pushed it back to 2015, the calendar year. Mm-hmm. And so people were like thinking maybe February, March, that sort of thing. But now they have announced that it is June 2nd is whenever we will be joining Batman in Gotham City again and riding around in the Batmobile, that
there
sort of
go.
Thing. So seems like that's a little bit farther back than some people thought it was.
Right.
Which, like, I don't know, it's strange to me that they would release and say October whenever, you know, we're being pushed back even farther than that.
Right.
So it's like, I don't even know. I mean, obviously it wasn't going to be October whenever they announced this thing. They knew that, you know,
right,
so why
yeah.
would they announce it as October?
Yeah.
So this seems strange to me, but I'm super excited about this game. I love the Arkham. Had you ever played Arkham Asylum?
Or, I have not.
I will let you borrow that. Well, I don't know. I mean, do you have a, you don't have a, your 360 anymore. Do
I
you?
Need to get it back. Yes.
Ah, you let somebody borrow
so
it.
So I will borrow it.
But yeah, so I need to let you borrow those, but I'm kind of hoping they come out with like a collected edition of those games,
right?
Like,
yeah.
with both of them on the same disc for next gen.
That'd
would be awesome.
Sweet.
And I know that we kind of have talked a little bit about it being a little bit too much on the collector's editions or the revamped editions,
right,
but
yeah.
that's one that I would for sure play again. So
yeah.
There is also a release date for The Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us on PS4 and Xbox One. Those dates are October and then November for The Wolf Among Us. So if you were looking to play Walking Dead Season 1 on your new console, there you go. That's going to happen in October and then November for The Wolf Among
Sweet.
Us. So those games, and again, like you can check out our review of the first season of Walking Dead, that game. And that was one of Chris's favorite games of that year. So definitely worth checking that out. Let me see. So we have the first picture of the Batmobile. Did you see this earlier this week? There were some photos of the Batmobile that were leaked online. And then I guess that was later on, Zack Snyder released an official picture of the Batmobile.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So what do you think? I mean, did you see these?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
What do you think of this?
It looks definitely like it's going to fly under the radar.
Yeah.
With those hard lines.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it could be more black.
Dude, it's a deep black, you know. maybe if it got some dirt on it, it might have like a tan look or something.
It looks ridiculous.
Or maybe really, really, really dark gray, right. That sort of thing. So, sorry, Lego movie joke there. anyway, so it just looks like a cross between kind of the Tim Burton kind of like look of a Batmobile, where it's like this kind of speedster.
And the Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, and the Christopher Nolan tumbler thing. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it looks cool.
It looks great.
I'm really excited to see it in action because we've only seen it kind of in the background of a picture of Batman previously. But this is kind of, you know, what I thought before is this is kind of a practical vehicle. It's as awesome as it was to have like this really long sports car that he drives in. That's just impractical if you're thinking about maneuvering through like busy streets of a metropolitan area. You know, it's like that's just not realistic to corner in the Tim Burton Batmobile would just be a nightmare.
Having to back up or try to parallel park.
Oh, gosh.
It just doesn't work.
I need four spaces that are right in the, you know, anyway. But yeah, this one looks like it's kind of a combination of the two. Kind of has a sports, it's almost like the Tumbler with winks and nods to a sports car.
Yeah, tanks would call this a tank.
Yes.
A sport coupe tank.
Yes, it's a sport coupe tank. Yes. It's probably a luxury tank.
It's a luxury tank.
Leather seats inside for sure. All right, something that is near and dear to my heart because we have the Arrow podcast, and that's actually going to be starting up whenever the show starts back up. I think it's early next month. The Arrow producer confirms development on a Supergirl series. This is awesome. Like I've been wanting a series, a DC Comics kind of series or a Marvel Comics series about with a female protagonist for a long time. Like that's just something that I think that DC is stronger in than Marvel a lot of times. I think they have, you know, these big female characters like Supergirl. They have these big female characters like Wonder Woman and, you know, a Black Canary that we've seen on Arrow. And to see them kind of branch out and do something with those characters is awesome. I guess we have the Peggy Carter kind of series that's coming out in between, like over the Christmas break of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It'll air the same night as them. And so I'm excited about that too, but this is kind of like one of those things. This is a big heavy hitter, Supergirl, you know, it's going to be awesome. So I'm really excited to see that universe expand. It's going to be awesome to see the Flash, see the Green Arrow, and see Supergirl probably in the same universe and interacting with each other in interesting ways. So I'm really pumped about that series. Right before Destiny came out, there was a upgrade offer that Activision and Activision and the developer as well, Bungie, announced that there was a digital upgrade offer for Destiny. Like if you buy this on last gen consoles, you would be able to upgrade for free to a next gen console.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. It almost had me thinking, hey, should I buy this on last gen and just get a free copy of the next gen one? But it's like, why would I ever go back and play on last gen? It's like, you know, I've basically made the Switch except for some single player experiences that I really wanted to take.
Still a great concept. I mean, it's just a big plug for people to make that next step, you know, within the next couple months, because I think they're offering this through middle of January into 2015. So, you know, that gives, you know, that furlough, that couple months to really say, hey, do I want to make the jump to next gen?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you get a free game.
Right.
Technically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's
awesome.
People who maybe get this for Christmas. Like, it's like, you know, there's people that'll get these consoles, the updated consoles for Christmas, and they'll be able to just play Destiny the first day that they get it. They just download the copy and get
it. That's awesome. I hope many other companies start doing this. So.
What do you think this does to brick and mortar retailers like GameStop? I mean, does this negatively impact, you know, maybe their sales? Does this incentivize people to go all digital?
I think they've prepared for it in this last, obviously a couple months, but you know, in the last couple of years, it's kind of been on their radar.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
it's just another thing that they're going to kind of have to cope through and figure out what other mediums they can kind of retain to now, lose that market. But
oh, for sure. But you, for the release of Destiny, didn't you have a digital copy pre-ordered through GameStop?
I did. Yes. This is it's a little weird. So I went to GameStop, got my pre-order, and then I realized that Xbox One was going to release a preload.
So you basically pre-order it digitally through Microsoft's online, like they're just right off
and
your
I'm
Xbox
thinking,
One.
Hey, well, it saves me sitting a couple hours in line, although that's kind of fun, just mingling with gamers and stuff. But still, I can sit at the comfort of my own home and pretty much wait till the release and already have it loaded. So all I have to do is tap A and I'm already in the game. So I think it's a great concept. And obviously, so then what I did was I went to GameStop and certainly I just canceled my order.
Yeah.
And there, it was the manager there, and they just the look on their face was just like, because
was
they
it
could,
like another one?
Right,
did you ask them how many they had?
You could just tell that she was losing so many people. Man. So it's the name of the game, man.
That's the direction we're going. I'm glad that we had the digital pre-order and everything like that. I will say though that like I was surprised, and it hits me as a limitation of, I guess, the technology, or maybe it's just a limitation of the market that we're in, that there's some legal issues with doing this. But it's like we had to, this time zone, and even the Eastern time zone, had to wait until midnight Pacific time.
Right.
So for the East Coasters, that was 3 a.m. For us here in Nashville, that is 2 a.m.
Right.
And so it's like we had to wait until it was, somebody else, people already had their physical discs and stuff like that in our time zone.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the idea behind not tiering it or tying it to what your IP address is. But I mean, I guess it may be something like where the market just isn't ready for that, where it's like they have these deals or they don't want to really just completely screw over, like GameStops and brick and mortar stores. Yeah. Because there is incentive still for those previous time zones to do that. And I guess the people that would have bought it, in, I guess the California time zone would have bought it physically there, could also probably, I mean, a very small percentage, most likely, but they could probably find a way around some of the production or something like that, maybe it'll clone an IP or something strange like that. I mean, it would take a lot of doing and it would be a really big headache, but I imagine some percentage of them would do it. So I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that's just kind of an annoyance. And as we grow in the digital marketplace, that'll get better.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many more releases, these preload releases or whatever, actually do that same thing, because it'll just make us have to dig deeper as to why this is the case. But, to have a setback for a couple more hours, I was already waiting however many months to get this game. So
for sure,
it was all right.
Okay, last piece of news, and this is the biggest piece of news. The Apple event.
What? There was an Apple event?
There was an Apple event.
Oh, the Apple event.
Like
you
were
thinking
like there was like an Apple festival.
Right, yeah. We are, okay, yeah.
So the Apple revealed the iPhone 6,
woo-hoo!
The iPhone 6 Plus,
what?
And an Apple Watch.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Crazy,
the Apple Watch.
Right?
Oh, Christ.
This was the very first time, like in a long time, that a press conference has had one more thing that has actually been like exciting.
We're going to melt your face off.
Right. And because this is something that people have been asking about. The watch is something people have been talking about. Rumors have been, all over the place.
Right.
Which is interesting because, like, I find any more that we basically know what the iPhones are going to look like before the iPhones even happen.
Well, thanks to China's photo release, but yes.
Right, and even like to the point where I think some of the like the video bloggers and stuff like that, like the vloggers will have like screens. I think one of them had like an actual screen and was like testing the durability and stuff. And it's like they have the parts of these of these devices. And so I knew what this thing was going to look like before we even kind of knew what it was going to look like. It was just, how much is it going to cost? What's the different sizes and stuff?
Yeah.
What do you think of, okay, let's just go first of all, let's just do the iPhone 6, just the regular, like it's got
the
an upgraded screen.
Yeah. I love that they're getting bigger in size.
Yeah.
So the 6 is definitely in my, cosmetic The way it looks is definitely appeals to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, everything else is upgraded. You know, the processor and everything. So yeah. The cameras and all that. So, which is, you know, after being a year out of date, is going to happen with technology. But
yeah.
You know, it's something that there was definitely the actual body style of it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, both phones now because they're pretty much similar. But the rounded edges,
yeah,
was something that, you know, kind of like
does that surprise you?
Like,
at all?
Hey, you know, well, yeah, because you're going back to technically, you know, almost like a 3G look, you know, or 3GS look. So it just looked like they were going back to the roots somehow, but.
I think some of that probably, like, I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, why were they around the edges? And I was holding my iPhone and just kind of like, if it was much bigger, the hard edges would get uncomfortable in my hand over a long period of time. And this thing also, it's I want to say it's a little bit heavier. It's like a half a gram or maybe a whole gram heavier than the iPhone 5S. And so I guess with the weight, if it had hard edges, it might get uncomfortable over time and the increased size.
Right.
So with a curved back, it allows it to be a little bit thinner and it allows it to fit in your hand, fit in the palm of your hand and just kind of sit there a little bit better.
Right.
But I guess this is more the size thing is more of a competing with the Samsung Galaxy S3 or whatever, right, or S4 or whatever number of S we're on now. And I guess that's kind of what they were doing with not just this one, but with the next one, the iPhone 6 Plus.
The 6 Plus. Which isn't six. It's 5.5 inches. It's not 6 inches.
But it's not six inches.
It's, okay, yeah, okay.
And it's not bigger than 6 inches. Right. 6 Plus like implies like we're at like right. 6 inches.
0001.
Yes. Which my wife, Catherine, made the comment that that Plus, like Google kind of owns Plus. And she's like, she was like, I was disappointed about the name because Google Plus, you know?
Yeah.
And she...
I've been taken back by like, they've kind of been in a, you know, in a mix of like whether it's Pro, whether it's S, whether, I mean, we don't really know why they're labeling the we don't know what the second word will ever be.
Right.
You know, what's, even if the watch came out with a new, you know, series or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they already have like different names. Like there's the sport one, but I think
we'll get to that. But might still, I mean, it's just, I don't know. You can't really guess what Apple's going to do.
Right. But, well, like the S, it might have originally stood for Siri, but it's like now every phone has Siri. Right. So like what, that argument's thrown out the window. Right. So,
but obviously we're at 5.5 inches.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's substantially bigger than the, obviously the current 5S right now. So what are your initial thoughts on being, I guess, that big?
I mean, it's like, I guess you could call it a phablet is what the term is.
Right.
It's like a phone tablet. And I was looking at some size comparisons, like, and I'll link in stayontargetpodcast.com, I will link to a article on, I think it's Polygon, but I'll link to it in the stayontargetpodcast.com, of a cutout next to a Vita and a 3G, or 3DS.
Wow.
And so, like, I was comparing it to my 3DS, and it's not that much smaller than the size of a 3DS. And so I can't imagine just carrying this huge thing in my pocket.
Right, yeah.
But maybe it's not. I mean, I've seen some people who are really skeptical about it say that, hey, listen, you know, it's actually not that bad to carry something that's that big in your pocket. Because they'll carry, you know, their Samsung S3s. And I mean, it's something that's that big, though, to me, I just can't imagine having almost just this book in your pocket. It's about the size of like a small book or something.
It sure is.
And so, like, that's just, I can't imagine carrying my 3DS around in a pocket or my 3DS XL in my pocket all the time.
Right.
Even though it's a portable device, it's like that goes in a bag. Like, it goes in my, that goes in my computer bag or that goes in my
gym bag.
Yeah, gym bag or like suitcase or whatever.
Right.
And, but yeah, so like, this will be a weird thing for people to really get their minds around.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see the market as far as from the 6 to the 6 Plus, actually, how many of they're gonna sell. So,
right. I think that core market of I guess the iPhone people, I don't know that they've really wanted a humongous screen like this. Maybe they have though. Maybe they have. Maybe they've been jonesing to do more gaming or something like that on it, which as a gaming device, like as compared to the screen size of like the Vita, it's really close.
Yeah.
Like it's not a wide screen. It's kind of like that. It's like your TV perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit taller, I guess, but it's like, it's about the same size as like a Vita screen. So like if you're doing gaming or if you're watching a lot of films or watching a lot of movies or whatever on this thing,
yeah,
on the go, this might be the way to go. This might be really a great option. That's what I'm contemplating.
Like obviously the streaming Netflix or streaming, you know, or watching YouTube or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a great experience, but you know, obviously you got to use your phone for, you know, other things, you know? So yeah. I can't make the jump for something that big when I already have an iPad, or if I had an iPad mini, I don't know why, yeah. But you know, so it's kind of like that medium where you gotta bring up some questions as to, you know, what are you actually going to use this for other than, you know, its purpose, it's a phone. So
yeah, for sure, dude. And it, like, to me, it's like whenever I do my phone, it's like, sometimes I even have to adjust my grip on my phone to get up to the corners, and I only have the 5S or whatever. So,
right.
I mean, it's reaching that, it'll be definitely a two-hand thing.
Right.
They do have that new accessibility feature with the new OS. That looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think
about the lock button now being on the side?
I don't think that would be a problem. The only problem that I see is every time we change like some of the hardware, inevitably something goes wrong with it. Like, I guess it's the iPhone 5. Like, whenever they changed the power button on that, now they're going and saying, hey, we'll replace your power button for free if it breaks. Okay. And I had a 4, same problem.
Like, right.
The power button broke and they had to replace it and stuff.
Right,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's like the... I guess when anytime we change the hardware on something, you don't know what the failure rate is going to be.
Right.
You know, you can do all the testing you want, but once something gets out in the market and gets out to, you know, millions and millions of people,
there's going
to
be a couple bad eggs.
Right. Yeah. There's going to be, you know, a certain percentage of failure on there. So
definitely.
We'll see how the buttons do. I do like the volume buttons. I like the new look of the volume buttons. I've never really liked the weird volume buttons on the side of like the last few generations. So,
right. Uh-huh.
I guess the last thing I wanted to talk about with this, was the size of the 5.5-inch screen might be a effort to expand the market. Like over in Asia and over in that like region,
yeah,
the iPhones and Apple is nowhere near as prevalent and nowhere nearly as big as it is
true,
here.
Yeah.
Samsung and LG are more the big guys over there. Mm-hmm. And so you look at that, maybe they're trying to market more and be more competitive in those markets that they don't have a hold in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so that definitely makes sense. I could see that for sure.
The iWatch, or I keep calling it the iWatch.
Everyone's going to call every, from here on out, any product they make, it's going to be an I before it. So
yep.
Apple Watch.
The Apple Watch.
Apple Watch.
What do you think? Is this a device for Ike?
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it long and hard, considering I have a couple months, but it's a cool concept. I just the first time looking at it, I'm thinking it's kind of big,
okay,
and bulky in a sense where it's thick. It just, I don't know, it just seems very masculine.
Yes.
So and it doesn't, and I don't know, I just can't.
You can't see it on your wrist.
Yeah,
you don't look at your wrist and go, yeah.
Right. I don't. I have a phone because I use it for my time as well. You know, I use it for my alarm clock or whatever. So I've never been a watch guy.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, being a new item and being, you know, it integrates so well apparently with the 6, and now they're going to downgrade it to the 5s, which is great too.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, I could see potentially getting. So.
So I guess for me, I don't really wear watches. I don't, you know, I don't,
right.
I don't do that. But I would love to, and been thinking about buying something for running. Like, I run all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I inevitably get texts on my run, and I ask Siri to read it to me because my phone is usually in my bag.
Yeah.
Carry the Camelback.
Okay.
And so, like, you know, I can't really pull out my phone and like read it or text back or anything. So like a watch that does not only my, not only that, but it does like heart rate. It'll do like, I'll be able to maybe look down and see, integration with my running app.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that seems really appealing to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I wonder how comfortable it is. I wonder how heavy it is, because weight is always an issue for me, especially on my arms. Like, you know, it's really an issue. Like, I've worn things while I've been running before, and it's like, man, it just gets really heavy.
Right.
It gets annoying over time, sweaty, that sort of thing.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see the different subclasses that they have, like the sport and what, I don't know, I can't remember what the other ones were.
For sure. Yeah, there's the sport, there was the regular, and then there was like some big one, like some like,
yeah,
the,
and
the
actually
elite.
How much, like you're saying, how much the bands actually add to the weight. So
and I guess like this is the comparison like that I was thinking of is like we have Back in the day, we had every technology company was scrambling to come up with a good solution for touchscreen technology.
Right.
And they would always sort of work, kind of work, work some of the time. They would have weird failure rates. And then Apple came out with their iPhone. And I guess all of the previous ones, most of them anyway, would inevitably have like a keyboard with them, like a QWERTY keyboard where you could still like text. Like if something went wrong and you didn't like touch screen or technology didn't work, you could always still work the phone because it had buttons on it. Then Apple came out and it has one button, your home button and your power button or whatever. And it worked perfectly. It worked so great that everybody adopted that same kind of technology. Mm-hmm. This is kind of one of those scenarios where everybody is scrambling to come up with the best iWatch situation or the best, wearable smart device. Mm-hmm. All of them, like the Android ones, they all connect to Android phones. Like your Google ones will connect to your Google phones.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's not anything strange. But hopefully what I'm hoping is that this thing comes out and it's like the iPhone. Because I remember when the iPhone came out, and it was like nobody, first time I saw one in the wild, if you will.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I was skeptical.
Right.
And then he was like, no, seriously, check it out. And I started playing with it. And I was like, this is the future.
Right. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And so I'm excited to maybe see this kind of come out and see it in the wild and see if this may be the next thing, you know? And honestly, like you look at the processing power that it would have to have inside there in order to work this stuff. It would be even bigger if it didn't tie to your iPhone via Bluetooth or something like that. It would not be feasible to wear your phone on your arm. You know, that heaviness, I mean, all of that. Right. So we'll see how this shapes up and see maybe, I guess there was somebody who was talking, was it you who said like you immediately saw it and you were wondering what version 2 looked like?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like this would be a concept, especially like Apple being so innovative. It seemed like this was a concept that would have come out a year and a half or 2 years ago. Hmm. Like, just by looking initially at it. And then just, I don't know, it just didn't catch my attention that much straight off the bat.
I think that whenever people get their hands on it, it might be a different story. It might,
and that's usually the case. Yeah,
I mean, and so we'll see. We'll see whenever that comes out, whether or not that's going to impress, or whether or not it's going to shake the world the way we all hope it does. Because like, I really would love to see a watch. Like I said, I would use it all the time on my runs, and I would like because you can text with it. It'll like predict your words and stuff, and you can text with it a little bit. It'll do Siri, you know, interact. Right. And so like, all of these things are all just right up my alley. I'm really excited to see this thing, whether it works or not.
Right.
Because it's got so many features that it couldn't get out of, say, like a Garmin or something like that while I'm running.
Yeah.
And it's all in one device. Like I wouldn't have to wear like a heart rate strap or anything like that. So it's like, this is a piece of technology that's kind of right up my alley, and you can game, on it potentially. I mean, there's EA that have said that, hey, we're going to develop games for the iWatch or the Apple Watch. Yeah, yeah, I know. Right.
That's awesome.
And so that, you know, so people are backing this thing. And this is, I think, the first time that a smartwatch has come out that people have backed it a lot. And so, yeah.
Interesting.
So you upgrading your phone, which version are you getting?
I'm going to get just the 6.
What color are you getting?
I'm going to get the, space gray.
Space gray.
I'm a black face guy. I like the concept that if I'm watching a movie and my screen's, you know, I'm in the theater, the screen's black, I just don't like anything contrasting around it. So gotcha. I've never been able to jump to the white. So
right on.
What are you thinking?
I mean, I'm on the S cycle.
Okay.
But I will definitely stick with the black. Like I'm the same way as you, and I hadn't thought about that aspect of it as well.
Right.
I just like a good case on a phone.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, maybe
you're gonna cover it up anyways.
Right. I'm gonna cover the back up. So it's like, I don't really care what color that is. So the front, as long as the front is a darker color, I just kind of like that idea. But maybe I'll change my mind by the time that rolls around and that sort of thing. But I don't know. I just like the black.
Sweet.
It's just kind of the classic.
Classic.
Well, that's the news.
The news.
All right, on to our review of Destiny.
Destiny.
So this is actually, we're going to do a spoiler-free, basically, review here. There may be some minor, like, when you fight a boss, or when you fight, like, there might be some minor stuff like that. So if it's like, if that would be
There's
surprising
a dude
to you.
You shoot.
you have classes,
right,
and crazy guns. You know, so if those types of things and maybe some small details about those things would bug you, we will hopefully warn you before we do that, so you can skip forward about 15 seconds or so and see.
Wonderful.
Okay, so Destiny, what is this game? It's a kind of like a matchup. It's a MMO mixed with a first-person shooter, like a space first-person shooter.
Right, yeah.
And so this, like, it's a weird genre to be in, and like they haven't called it really an MMO. They were calling it a bunch of different things, and so what did you think immediately right off the bat? What did you think?
Well, it's definitely it's coming into its own since the release. It it has so many different flavors, and just different genres to begin with. But I think that's something that almost the gamers are going to decide for it,
yeah,
which is awesome, I think.
You think the community will determine what this is?
Yes, definitely it will. Mm. So I'm excited to see, you know, obviously this is the first week into it, but I'm excited to see, you know, what the rest of this year up to 2015,
yeah,
you know, and some DLC content, obviously, but really what it ends up shaping to be.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's interesting because whenever I looked at the alpha, and I was increasingly, like, whenever this was announced, I was like, okay, that's cool. It's Bungie's next thing, and it looks a lot like Halo. So I'm excited to do this. This is going to be cool. It's going to be a big story.
Yeah.
And then whenever I played the alpha, I was very disappointed. I was very, I guess I was, up until that point, I increasingly got less and less excited about it. And I played the alpha, and I was like even less excited about it. But then whenever they did that open beta, I guess it was July.
Yeah, late July.
I was super pumped. Like, whenever I played it, I was really skeptical, but as soon as I got in there, and the same experience happened this time, where you start building your character, and whenever you build your character, you pick its features, you know, there's a limited selection of, like, colors and things like this.
Yeah.
Whenever you accept the UI, like, with this weird mouse thing, like, what's up with the mouse thing, first of all? Like, we're on a console, but it's almost like it has a mouse. It's on every platform except for PC.
Right.
And, but it's like you're using a mouse. But yeah, so like once you get, like, build your character, you're kind of endeared to your character, where you're really invested. You've spent some time building this thing, and immediately you get in and experience this first level, and you grab a gun, and there's loot at the end of it, and you just realize what the game is whenever you get out of that first level, and then you play through the next level maybe with some friends, and that's what I would say, like, is the most exciting part about this game, is the fact that you can play everything with, like, a fire team with friends.
That's awesome.
So I guess to me, the story, I was surprised that the story is as small as it is.
Yeah.
Because I expected, like, the Halo level, like, you look at the Bungie's previous games, and Halo has always had these massive stories with huge set pieces and you know, these massive things.
Yeah.
And this, if you compare it to, like, that, and even almost any other first-person shooter, has a very small, like, quaint story,
right?
Where you're basically in there, and you get a little bit of exposition before every single mission,
right?
And then after the mission, you kind of get to the end of it, and they're like, "Oh yeah, good job," and maybe there's a cutscene, that sort of thing. So it's like, it's a smaller story, but if you compare it to the other genre that it is, which is an MMO, this story is massive compared to some of those, some of the MMO stuff. So that's interesting. Like, it's really an interesting play on, like, what is this game? You know, what is the vibe of this game? Like, the MMO stuff, you get loot, you level up, and there's, almost these, like, it's a dungeon-esque way to look at a first person shooter.
Yeah.
What did you think of, like, whenever you first, like, get in the world, you wake up and you're there? What did you think of that first story?
I just, obviously you don't know how vast it is until you get in.
Yeah.
Cause you can see screenshots all day long and say, wow, look at that sunset. That looks amazing.
Right.
You know, but, obviously just getting, you know, your feet planted, it has such a realistic feeling. Like, you know, you are surrounded on, you know, whatever Earth has become.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome feeling. Just the textures that it has and everything. I think, you know, obviously once you finish that first mission, you get to see just, you know, a step back view of just how much detail has gone into, you know, this first, more or less first map, it Earth. So, I was greatly impressed by it. So
for sure. So the loot system, that really, like, the loot and upgrades, that sucked me in early. Because, like, I was constantly, like, looking at my stuff, and even in the middle of missions, I would get, like, an upgrade, and I would be like, oh, hold on, I need to upgrade this thing.
Right, yeah.
You know, because it very much makes you feel like you're getting somewhere. It makes you feel like you're progressing in those ways. So, like, that was pretty awesome to me. And I've seen some people like complain about the slowness of the loot system or the slowness of the upgrades. But I really thought it was fine. Like, I was kind of one of those guys where I knew what I was getting into, where I was like, this is going to be a slow burn game for
me. Yeah.
Where, you know, I'm going to be able to like work my way through this stuff and gradually upgrade, gradually get better.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, early on, what are you looking at? Like if you put on a different piece of armor, it's like an extra point better. Like it's, it goes from a 20 to a 21, right? You know, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but it does make a difference. It does make a difference.
It definitely
pretty early,
does. Yeah.
So. As far as the world building goes, what, in the first cutscene, and I'm trying to think of this right now, I should have looked it up before we got on. Mm-hmm. Is there wildlife in that first cutscene? Am I imagining in this?
There is.
Deer or something. It's just,
no, there's obviously birds and stuff, but no, there's really no.
That was the one critique that I had, is like, what are these aliens eating on this planet? Are they you know, herbivores, or are, I mean, I don't imagine these guys with these massive teeth and stuff like this as these, you know, as these plant eaters, you know? And so it's like, I just wonder like, where that is. And I would like to see a little bit more of that.
I didn't think about that, but yeah.
That was the only like critique I had about the world, about the atmosphere, that sort of thing. What about the music?
Music is incredible.
Yeah.
It's so, I don't even know how to explain. It's so dynamic that like you could be playing a co-op mission, you know, mission 3, 4, whatever it is, and it creates such a seamless, you know, the cutscene coming in from where, you know, you land or whatever, transport to, just into something that is triggered, whether it's, you know, an enemy crew that's coming by or whatever. I mean, it triggers so spontaneous where you're just in the action, and it creates such an emotional response, I think.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, the music in general is just epic. I mean, it's got such remnant characteristics of obviously Halo.
That's true.
With the voicing and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, it's awesome.
Well, even more so than like, there had some Star Trek kind of moments where I just felt like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, we're actually in space. It just has this really cool feel. And you brought up something that, like, it's interesting whenever you have those random moments where like a public event happens, but the music goes right with it,
right? Yeah.
And so it's almost like this unscripted moment with very tightly scripted music,
right? Yeah.
Where like all of a sudden you just realize that your heart's racing, and it's because you know, it's because the atmosphere is being created with this music.
Yeah, we were playing a couple days ago, and there was like, it was a point at the end of one mission or strike mission or whatever it was, and I paused. I mean, in the middle of the chaos, I paused and I said, guys, this music is epic.
I mean, I know,
it literally was. It was just like, it was, you know, it sounded something like out of, you know, Dark Knight or something that Hans Zimmer would do, is just like, you know, pounding in your face. But it was great.
For sure. And like the different races of aliens that you fight and things like that, they all have kind of their own sound. You know, some of the enemies have like an electronic kind of a sound to them,
totally,
where there's like
these
electric guitars and these weird synthesizers and stuff. But but then other ones will be pretty lush and like more orchestral and stuff. And I think it also depends on like where you're at too. Like if there's it's really well done where if you're in an open space, the music sounds a little bit more open. And if you're in a tighter, more enclosed place, it's more claustrophobic and horror film-esque. Yeah. So
awesome.
As far as those atmospheres go, like the different planets that there are, the variations, I guess, between the different worlds and the different places that you can go. What did you think of those elements?
They definitely had, I mean, their characteristics from each other are like total opposite. I mean, they're completely vast. They're way different. Not really as if this is any spoiler, but obviously the moon was in the beta very briefly. You just go to the moon and you feel like you're on the moon, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's just the way, the uneven terrain and just the craters and, you know, it's way different than anything you would experience, you know, obviously just playing on one map or one Earth map, you know, or so. It's just, and the vegetation and whatever, it's just, it's awesome.
Or
and
lack of vegetation
lack
on the moon.
and the I mean, just the landscapes.
Yeah, whenever you look up on the moon and you see the Earth up there, it's like, holy cow.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the moon.
Right.
It's just... Yeah, for sure. So the other thing, story. What did you think, like, story-wise? Like, I mean, obviously, this is a really long game, and we haven't finished the story. And right. So I'll have to, like, maybe update you guys on the final, like, what's the final thing in maybe a week or two, and see, you know, so the story of kind of these strike missions. I guess the way we should explain the way that this is laid out, you have these strike missions. You can do them 1 to 3 players, so you could play this a single-player campaign.
Right.
I would encourage you, if you play single-player, not to play it single player, play it with other people, because that's kind of where the bread and butter is.
You need
thing
to be
is.
Connected anyways. Just grab a couple buddies and make a fire team.
Well, that's the story. Like, so you start off and you know, the world is this crazy place. You don't know quite what's going on, but how did the story really strike for you? Did it hit all the right notes? Has it so far, has it been kind of what you expected?
Like, to be fair, first off, like, when I play any game, I'm always entrapped in the visuals, the graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And, going back and going through the story with obviously different classes and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's definitely one of those things. It's not confusing by any means, but it's definitely one of those things where it's always good to go back and kind of relearn those things, and you'd be like, oh, that's why.
You know? It connects to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's just, I like the way that, you know, instead of working on one character, they kind of, you know, they want you to work on multiple characters. So, in a sense that you're automatically going to do that anyways.
You're going to
unfold the story, you know, just by doing your natural thing. So
yeah.
I think it's definitely something in the works, but, and obviously with additional DLC, it's just going to unfold even bigger. So
for sure. I want to say that I guess we've played through quite a bit of, you know, or a lot of it. And there's only been like a couple of different twists and turns that I didn't really expect. A lot of times it was like, you go out and it's like, it's the definition of like expectation meeting result. It's like you go out and I expect to do X, Y, Z, and it ends up the story is X, Y, Z. So like that was kind of, that was a little strange to me. It's like it literally just followed along with kind of what I was anticipating. And I guess there was a couple times whenever I almost wanted it to be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't from a gameplay perspective. Gameplay always is like, that is never expectation meeting result. Like even if you're like, oh, and we're going to go down here and fight a big boss, or whatever, we're gonna fight some big beast. The beast is never what I expected. Like it's always something different, and it's always some different challenge, and you always have to overcome that challenge in a unique way.
Right.
And so, like that, you know, from a gameplay perspective, this thing is, you know, has a great, I guess those moments of breaking gaps in my mind where it's like, hey, I expected this, but this happened. The world is actually this way. And that's really fun gameplay wise. But I always like that to happen in stories where there's more kind of twists and plot twists and things like that.
Makes sense, yeah.
I guess immediately whenever I met one of the characters, I didn't trust them, and I haven't had that pay off yet. I really haven't had it pay off yet.
Man.
And so, yeah, that was, you know, that was the one of those where I'm like, man, I'm really thinking they missed an opportunity here to make this guy, you know, a bad guy or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, as far as the story goes, if I was a single player guy, if I was a guy who only plays by myself, never plays with anybody, this probably is not where I would find my jam.
Right.
You know,
I agree 100%.
This is a place where you go to play with friends, and and that's awesome.
It's in a sense, in that same sense, you create your own story.
For sure.
So
for sure. The other thing that I wanted to say was, like, I wanted to make a comparison to kind of the zombies mode that we've played before in, like, Call of Duty.
Zombies?
Where, like, these worlds are way bigger than those worlds.
Right.
But there is a sense of, like, pushing forward in these, whereas those you're running from. And so, like, it's really interesting, like, that interplay of, like, having a strike team that is, you have to do your specific roles, kind of like you do in the zombies mode or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you have to do your roles, but there's a different goal in mind. You're just pushing forward,
right.
As opposed to, hey, how do we delay this? How do we, you know, stop these guys from coming at us?
Interesting.
So, okay. So as far as the other game mode that's in this, there is a Crucible. It's a player versus player PvP, mode. And this is, I guess, what is it? 6 versus 6?
6 versus 6. Yeah.
And it's kind of this Halo-esque shooter type thing, and we've played a few matches in this. What did you think? And you play a lot of Battlefield. I play a lot of like Call of Duty and Titanfall.
I love first-person multiplayer, man. It's that is my jam.
Yeah.
So, but for some reason, I don't know. Destiny's multiplayer is a way, way, way opposite of what seems to be like the co-op story mission.
Yeah.
It feels different. It looks different. It flows different.
That's interesting because they all the maps take place on the planets that story is in different locations on those planets, but it's still on the same planets.
Right. And obviously, you know, going from, I love Destiny, like you said, in its co-op sense where you're as a team and then you get out and the PvP multiplayer just seems like such a, man, your own man, you know, you're one man, and you're just, you can't, it's hard to back up each other or say, hey, he's over at this location, or I mean, it's just,
Well, the maps are vast, the maps are fairly large, they're pretty asymmetrical, and I guess you have a lot of times where I felt like it was slow, like I felt like I was bored, where like I was running into the battle and it was taking forever to get there. Right. And I felt like I was a little bit slower on those maps than I was on the single or the I guess the strike missions is what we'll call them. So like the player versus player, it just didn't hit with me.
Right.
I will say that the loot in there it was really nice. Like whenever we got done with one of the matches, you get loot out of that as well.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. Because the loot that I got was really awesome. It was really high level, and I was excited to have it.
And I suppose that stuff is exclusive only to Crucible. I mean,
yeah.
It's obviously you're doing some achievements or whatever in the game to unleash those things, but it almost felt like everyone was unlocking these random things where it just had this feeling like, oh, I need to play the Crucible, you know, just to have that experience. But
The other thing I will say is as compared to other multiplayer player versus player shooters, there was no lobby. Whenever we got into this, it was just the same. It almost felt exactly the same as whenever you get into kind of the strike missions.
Right.
You just select a different location.
Right.
You just select the Crucible. And so you're never really in a lobby. And you also don't have levels, traditional multiplayer levels, in order to matchmake the best way. So like if you're a high level guy, you may have never played player versus player ever before. And so you're thrown in there and you're terrible. But but because of your level, it assumes that you're great and tries to match you against other people.
Yeah.
So like there's no unique I guess skill levels.
Right. It's just interesting that the classes themselves have a certain strategy to go about a certain enemy.
True.
But then you get in the Crucible and you just have to fend for yourself.
Yeah.
And the strategy is to just kill. I mean, there's no like, hey, I could outmaneuver, you know, you can't. I mean, it's just if you get shot at first, you're 90% dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just weird that you have, you know, where, you know, your three-man team, everyone's got their role, and then you get kicked in here, and it's just everyone.
And nobody has a role.
Yeah, nobody has. Yeah, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah. The other thing I will say about it is it's really easy to get into. So it's like if you've never played a player versus player like a Halo or something like that, you can easily navigate to this, and it's easy to get into a match, and it's easy to get in there. You may get stomped, and you may actually stomp other people. You know, it may actually work out great. But there were a lot of high-level guys rolling around in there with a lot higher-level guns.
Yeah.
So the weapons and the loadouts can be vastly different because it's the exact same character that you're taking into single player. So as you upgrade things in single player, as you get better and better weapons, you can carry those over to multiplayer. So you might have somebody who's in there with a level, you know, with like a rifle that does no damage, like does absolutely no damage. But then he's up against somebody who has a rifle that has 300 damage, where it's like 1400 times as much, or that was a massive exaggeration, but it's like it'll do way more damage. So this person doesn't have a chance. So I will say that like while it was fun to play it, I was confused by it more than anything. I was confused by like, what is this mode? And I don't see it as something that will continue on. Like there's no, like very few game modes where like, if you look at Titanfall, that launched with very few game modes and it actually like, kind of died off after a while. There's no private matches in this either. So it's like,
they almost had to feel out the community once again to see, hey, what do we need to release to kind of unfold this a little bit more?
So I'm going to say that this is not a multiplayer, like player versus player right. mode that's super competitive and that has a ton of staying power. But as you're playing through it, it would, like, it's nice. It was nice whenever we hopped over there.
Right.
And
just to change it up.
Yeah, just to change it up, play a couple matches, get some exclusive weapons and exclusive right. Armor yeah. from that. And that was really fun. So do a bounty or two, that sort uh-huh. of thing. You can hop over there, yeah. do some bounties, get yeah. some cash. But overall, I will not be spending a ton of time in right. that mode. So
yeah, I'll be yeah. myself kind of over in the co-op world. So
last thing, like, let's just summarize here. Who is this game for and who is it not for?
Oh man,
it's not for people in my mind who, like we just said, who are all about player versus player multiplayer. Like, if your jam is to get into Call of Duty and just own people, this yeah, game
this
is not,
is
for,
not
you.
For you.
If your jam is like Halo and like Halo 2 and right. like the player versus player stuff of all of those, this is probably not for you. Even right. though it's the same developer, even though it feels a little bit similar,
yeah.
And it looks a little bit similar, it's not for you because that's just not a strong suit.
Yeah.
In my mind, this is also not for people who are a single player that wants to play something for its story.
Right.
I would not say that this is for you, but if you are someone... Who is this for? So, like, who, considering, like, those thoughts, do you agree with both of those?
Yeah, like, we, obviously, before, I mean, we met playing zombies.
Oh, yeah.
This is for the zombies crew. I mean,
yeah.
any kind of game mode that requires, you're going to get your butt kicked if you're by yourself. You
right.
You know what I mean? Like, you yeah. need help. Like, yeah. you can't. So, even if it's random dudes, it doesn't matter. I mean, just any, it's for the strategizer. The man, it's just crazy how it unfolds, but it
for
just,
sure
it's,
well, especially the gameplay, like you'll be going along and then all of a sudden in walks, you know, X gigantic beast, and yeah. it's like, how in the world
right.
are we gonna, you know? And so, like, you get your butts handed to you for a long time, like, maybe
yeah.
there was one match where we were so unprepared for this thing, we didn't know we were unprepared for it
right.
and we get in there, and as we're working through it, we had to reevaluate our strategy. And so you have to be able to work quickly on your feet and say, okay, well, this isn't working. Let's do something else.
Yeah.
You know, let's try something else. And so I guess problem solvers, people who like group
yeah, exactly.
problem solving
yeah.
and people who like to play certain roles within a team will love this. So
yeah.
I guess anybody who's a fan of cooperative multiplayer,
yeah.
you're going to love this. Like,
I'll tell you what, the first person shooter aspect, I mean, that wears off quick.
Yeah.
I mean, don't think it's a point and shoot type
right.
game, because it's really not, you know,
it's kind of like a strategy kind of game
right.
where you come up with these strategies in order to defeat the enemy and go at it that way.
Yeah,
what's fun about, like, the first person shooter, I did want to say this, it feels very snappy, it feels good, like most
yeah.
of the controls, most of, like, the way it looks, like, as you go to aim down sights, it feels really good that
yeah.
way. Some of the turning is a little wonky sometimes
yeah.
but overall the handling feels very good.
It
feels
does,
like
yeah.
a mix between like Halo and kind of Call of Duty kind of situation.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I'm right there with you. It's like, if you love multiplayer cooperative situations,
yep.
go for it. And if you want to, you can add me on Xbox Live, and that's Labella6 is my gamer tag. Labella6. And we can strike team together.
Awesome.
So,
well, yeah, feel free to add me too. Mine is Hawk, Hawk space E05
for sure. So yeah, you know, join us on there, get some Destiny on for sure.
Sweet.
All right, so I'm gonna forego rating this, but actually no, let's go ahead and rate
okay.
it for what we know now. Like, we haven't hit the end game yet,
right.
we haven't finished
right yes
finished
at our current level.
Yeah, for the experience that you've had since day one all the way up until today, at a scale out of 10, what would you rate this?
I am going to, there are a couple mechanics obviously that we didn't talk about, but I'm going
oh what
to,
were the mechanics we didn't
no,
talk
no, no,
about?
No, just in general, very small details, but I'm going to, with the multiplayer just being so much different than the co-op,
yeah,
I'm going to label this a 8.5.
Okay. I was leaning towards like an 8, an 8.5, like that range as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like, if you take away a lot of things, and I played this single player. I played a little bit of the campaign by myself and just kind of like worked through it. It was a very different experience.
Yeah.
And so it was fun. I enjoyed myself, but it wasn't because of the story or anything like that. It was because I knew, you know, I just wanted to experience it by myself and see
yeah.
what that was going to be like. But yeah, I would say an 8 for sure. It's that kind of a game where it's like, hey, let's play this.
Yeah.
And it's a good game, but it's not like that level of 10 because it's got those detractors. Right.
And
like
that's story. Not to detest like against anything that could technically unfold and make it a better game. This right. is just our initial
yeah.
thoughts this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, this is just maybe how far did you say we are through this thing? Maybe like, I mean, through the story, we're I would say we're a large percentage of the way through the story.
Yeah, yes.
But then there's like the end game raids and like high level yeah. stuff.
We're
that
nowhere
you're
near
to,
that
so. So whenever that gets done, like whenever we get kind of more on that, we might actually come back and give it a solid finishing number stamp of approval
there.
So that seems to be everything for this week.
That's awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude, it's been really fun. Chris will be back next week, and I'm not sure exactly what we're talking about next week, but we've got a lot of games coming out soon. We've got the Arrow, CW's Arrow coming back on, and that'll be starting up soon. That'll be awesome. Really pumped about that.
Sweet.
And you can follow me on Twitter at JohnWright777. Do you want to give out a Twitter or anything?
I don't even know my Twitter handle.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you for, once again, thank you for being
yes,
on the
man.
Show, man.
Thank you, guys.
I always love having guests, and especially, you know, I was happy that you were going to be in on this one too. So
happy to be here.
Glad that worked out, man. All right, that's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.